unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative. Whatever.
Indicative.
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada yada yada.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere, producer extraordinaire on the board. And Greg Bach is here, as always, on Wednesdays. And my question to you is, if you were in the top 5% of your senior class in Wisconsin, should you have a guaranteed spot at UW-Madison? 844-967-2789. And not just the UW system, because as of right now, I would say even without a strict rule, if you're in the top 5% of your senior class, you're getting into a UW school.
It might not be Madison.
It may not be Madison, but you're getting into a UW school. So I'm saying specifically UW-Madison, which is the most hardest to get into, most competitive of the UW schools. If you are a Wisconsin graduate from high school and you're in the top 5% of your class, should you be guaranteed a spot? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY.
Texter from the 608 says, here is my question about that top 5% gets into Madison measure. Does anyone in-state actually not get into Madison if they're in the top 5%? Or is this just another inventive problem in order to solve a situation?
And it's hard because this is why admissions is hard. Because different schools have different competitive levels. Like the University School of Milwaukee, Brookfield Academy. Some of these schools that are basically prep schools, and the competition to be in the top 5% is very different than to some public schools throughout the state, right? So if you were, is it just within your class? Is there a measure of, you know, because certain classes, I went to a school, I mean, when I was in high school in Madison West, and it could have changed at this point, but when I was there, there was honors classes. But really the only AP classes that were offered were for math and language. Like there wasn't AP history, there wasn't AP English, this was in the early 2000s. And so when I finished my high school in California where everyone took APs, and like if you were basically if you didn't weren't in the AP class, you were like the like average or below student, which I didn't realize because I always thought it was just the super super smart kids. And so it's like so many of these schools are not set up to be apples and oranges in the first place. So what does it mean to be in the top 5%? But also, what about sports? What about majors? Like everyone, you know, looking at the variety of, we have 8,000 people who apply to the engineering major. So if you want to major in engineering,
that's where you
you're in the top 5% of your class, but it's just like, then what? So it's like, well, we have to let you in, but you can't major in engineering because there is no space in that major.
Well, I think then the bigger question is it's if it's a problem, it's a far more nuanced solution then because what am I going to do? If I'm top five and I wanted to like do this thing and they're like, yeah, we don't offer that. Or it's not as good as say like if Milwaukee offers something that might be better, it's not unheard of that other schools have better programs than Madison does. So, I mean, to me, it's kind of a shocking idea. Like, top five students, that also, how many students are in the top five then? Then take that times all the schools. That's a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. To me, that almost seems like, it's a good intentioned idea, but it's built to fail someone, whether it's the student, the school, UW, it's built to fail.
So this is coming from a new bill that has been proposed by Republicans. And so basically the Wisconsin high school graduates ranking in the top 5% of their class would be guaranteed admission to the University of Wisconsin-Madison under a Republican bill expected to be introduced yesterday. So this comes from Kelly Meyerhofer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The state's top-ranking students would be promised a seat at all UW system institutions and technical colleges they apply to, according to the bill. Most of Wisconsin's public colleges and universities already operate as open-access institutions, meaning they accept the overwhelming majority of applicants. With UW-Madison is more selective. It accepts 49% of freshmen of new freshman applicants, including 60% of Wisconsin applicants, 45% of Minnesota applicants, 35% international, and 51% of out-of-state. So that's not the cumulative. It's of the people who apply from each of those things. Those are the numbers. So this is... This happened. Republicans brought the bill after hearing constituent calls with stories of high-achieving students rejected from UW-Madison.
Oh my God, I saw
and
this.
And having to enroll out of state.
I saw this. There was, I can't remember who
my
it was.
My Jimmy was such a good student, and he didn't get into UW-Madison.
You know, I'm not going to speak ill of any, I'm not going to mention names, but I'll just say some dipwad on another station was like, could not stop retweeting, which I think were completely made up, was just to fire up people. And I just kept saying like things like, I thought you liked competition. What about competition? Not everyone makes it. Some people don't make it in the schools they want. No one's guaranteed. Just because your kid worked by your standards really hard doesn't mean someone or 20 other kids didn't work harder. Sorry, it's competition. If you don't like it, cry somewhere else.
Well, and also, I mean, we didn't talk about this because this was a couple weeks ago. Wisconsin right now was all over this,
yes.
Specifically with DEI, specifically, and they kept sharing stories they were getting,
yep,
of people saying this complaint, and one of them was just a complete troll,
mm-hmm,
who sent them a story that was ridiculous, and they shared it and didn't verify it,
of course,
and then. The person, it's an anonymous account on Twitter who came out of retirement and basically had the receipts of like, that was me.
Oh,
like, you guys are idiots.
Wisconsin right now reporting the news of Wisconsin and Milwaukee all the time. No, just complaining.
But it is funny that this is the basis. It sounds like it's not necessarily the basis of looking at how many top students, depending on how you want to, like the criteria for that, are not getting into Madison. It's based on anecdotal stories and complaints of my Jimmy didn't get in.
And that, and that is, isn't that a snowflakey thing to do?
And yes, and that just goes to show that to make a broad, vague, quote-unquote fix, they want to do this. They want to force this upon the UW system. What are you doing? Like,
while also having a $32 million cut.
Yeah, while also telling them basically you can't do these things. Like basically it's just turned into UW system is just at their knees.
And I get the argument as far as, and we talk about talent retention and talent acquisition, I guess this would be more retention of keeping the best and brightest in Wisconsin and, you know, any correlation between if they go to school here, mm-hmm, the likelihood that they would stay and build their career here after they graduate. But that's also assuming that UW-Madison isn't already invested in that. And that, like, the big switch of letting so many more out-of-state students into Wisconsin happened because of the decrease in funding that they've been getting and that they needed to compensate for the money that they weren't getting from the state with out-of-state full tuition, not subsidized tuition for out-of-state students that is closer to like, what, 30 or 40 grand a year, and basically, yeah, like private school type money. But I will say in the article they reference that, and I didn't know this because as someone who graduated from UC Berkeley, because this says some other states, namely California and Texas, have adopted guaranteed admission policies for the top 9 and 10% of in-state high school students. I don't think UC Berkeley is letting the top 9% into the school. First of all, California is massive.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's for the UC system or the Cal State system, which I would have to look more into.
Because
I'm pretty sure UCLA and UC Berkeley isn't letting the top 9%, like guaranteed admission.
Oh, all the school. Yeah, that just seemed, once again, like, how do you even do that? Like, how does it operate? Like...
But should there be any guarantees for, like, if you're a top performing student in Wisconsin, as far as
Honestly, I think I was always told like valedictorian and salutatorian got to go basically wherever they wanted. I think any UW school with a full ride. Like the top two kids, not the top 2% or top, like that was the only thing I ever understood to be was the fact that
True?
I thought that was the case. I was always told that like if you were the salutatorian and the valedictorian, you basically got a full ride to whatever school you wanted within the state system you were living in. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to fail hard because you cannot clock this stuff. That's so many kids. There's so many spots that other kids from in Wisconsin who work hard and outside Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, all those places, you're basically saying like, all right, if we have, you know, 50 spots, we're already giving 25 away. So these, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And like you said before, if they want to do engineering, they might not be able to. Mm-hmm. So what's the point? I mean,
the point is to break UW-Madison.
I mean, yeah, it's they're just going to turn it into like high income housing.
Because I also, it's just like, how do you define top? Is it just GPA?
That's how.
Because now there's also the push for is it ACT? Is it SAT built into GPA? Is it? It's all the stuff that you get back to what they consider now,
which is
extracurriculars and sports and what instrument do you play and how much should you volunteer and what, you know. And so it's like, how do you define top?
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Should the top students be guaranteed admission into UW-Madison as per a newly introduced bill from Republicans in Madison?
Leave it to the conservatives to think of the details.
Well, and which I think the bill should be called, Why Jimmy Didn't Get Into Madison.
Yeah, the snowflake bill.
Let us know what you think. 844-96-PARTY. Should top students be guaranteed admission into UW-Madison? Or what does it mean to be a top student? 844-96-PARTY. We'll take another break and be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Jane Madner and Greg Bach. And we are asking, should the top students in Wisconsin, top seniors, be guaranteed admission into UW-Madison? Or, similar but different question, what does it mean to be a top student? We got Benji from Oshkosh on the phone. Benji, what do you think?
Hey, y'all. You know, first of all, I think you just clarified something for me. I thought that the bill was talking about giving the top 5% of students from Wisconsin high schools admittance to any UW campus as a guarantee. I didn't understand that it was specifically to UW-Madison. So is that right?
Well, it's the same thing, right? So if they're guaranteed admission to any UW school, that includes Madison. So I'm singling out Madison go ahead.
So I guess that's if the idea is that students would be accepted to any school that they applied to. I don't agree with that, but I do think if you're graduating top 5% in your class and you're from Wisconsin, graduating from a Wisconsin high school, you should be able to go to any of the UW campus as a guarantee, not necessarily UW-Madison. So I wouldn't agree to say that you're going to get accepted to any campus you apply to, or you definitely get to go to Madison, but absolutely you should have a seat reserved in any UW campus because, you know, I think you said something about retention, and I think that's a really important idea, but... I just don't buy the idea that top students are going to go UW-Madison or out of state.
So I agree with you. So you're saying they should top 5% of students should have admission to at least one of the UW schools. They should be able to get into it, but not necessarily Madison. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is what I say. But at the same time, you know, now that we're discussing it, it's like if you're in the top 5% of your class, you're going to get into UW-Eau Claire.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you may not get into UW-Madison.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think that's kind of what the case has been.
So interesting.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I thought it was so interesting because you were talking about that this is coming from the Republicans. And then I heard you guys talking about that, and it just surprised me because it sounded like something that would come from the Democrats. So I found it funny that you guys were kind of trashing it because I totally thought
well,
it
to be
like
perfectly fair,
the Democrats.
To be fair, the reason why I'm trashing it is because it is a reactionary bill that seems like it doesn't have a lot of nuance to it and doesn't do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as them taking consideration all the things that have to go into making such a huge promise to so many people. If the Democrats were proposing this, I'd be like, what is wrong with them? I'd trash it as well. I just don't think it's a good idea.
I agree with you. I don't think we need the bill. I think it's surprising coming from the Republicans because it's normal. They're normally saying we need, you know, less government intervention with, you know, whatever it is, even if it's the public school system. But yeah, I would say we don't need the bill, but I'm still just surprised that it's coming from the Republicans in general. I doubt it's going to go anywhere, though, right? I mean, most people think this is kind of a non-issue, really, right?
Well,
we'll see.
But thanks so much for the call, Benji. We got Nate from South Milwaukee.
Nate from South Milwaukee is on the phone. How you doing, Nate? Thanks for joining us. What do you think?
Yeah, thanks. I'm not going to weigh in on a yes or no on this one because I guess the issue that I had when I first saw this come through a couple of days ago is I think the purpose is really just to perpetuate the merit-based system that the conservatives have had for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another way to undermine the DE&I that they're mm-hmm. trying to strip away
That's
from
a good
the
way of thinking
from
of it,
higher ed. So, yeah, so I think not necessarily a Trojan horse, but I think just looking behind to offer, I think that's really the intended purpose.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, Nate.
Thanks a lot, Nate.
And I think that's, I remember, you know, there was once I saw an article about a woman who, you know, ended up, she was basically getting her master's. She had just graduated from her master's and she had a little bit of a chip on her shoulder because it was like she had a 3.2 in high school, probably similar when she was at her technical college and stuff. And she had teachers who literally would like, try to dissuade her from higher education because they just thought that she wasn't that strong of a student. And in reality, it was because she had to work jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, some of us, it's not that we're dumb. We just have more things to do than just go to school. And so I think similar to what Nate said, having a more robust consideration of who you let into schools, because if you only have to focus on school, it's a little bit easier to be the top 5% of your class.
Absolutely.
Versus I have to help pay bills at my house.
Yeah, when I worked in high school and I worked during when I went back to college. I graduated with like a 3.2 and I was pretty proud of that because I was 30 when I graduated from college. I went back when I was 26 and so yeah, I get that. And that's a very interesting way of taking it, Nate, the idea of a, like reducing it to a merit-based system as far as Benji is saying, like, is surprised that this was not something from the Democrats. If this came from the Democrats, this would be like a 50-page bill with everything broken down. They'd say everything and they'd talk about how much it costs and it'd be dead on arrival. Where as Republicans are like, oh no, people are complaining. Just do this.
Yeah. But I do think, I mean, I think this is tied up with, and I get it. I get that it's disappointing to work that hard to have. To be the top of your class, to do all the accolades, and then to not get into your top school. Like it, but like that's
it's been
also
happening for years.
But it's also like it's hard to be one of the best athletes in your school and then to level up and not be able to play D1.
Yeah.
It was hard to be like a good actress and go to Hollywood and then like not get cast in stuff, right? Like at any, depending on whatever you're involved in, whatever you're passionate in, most of us hit a ceiling.
Yep.
And you have a plan B.
And experience disappointment.
And, like, that's not the end of the world is to have a little resiliency and be able to bounce back from not getting the thing that you wanted.
And luckily we have access to all these different things now, whether if you're you know, to put yourself out there in the world. Put your talent. It might not be the most talented person, but Maybe you're charming and you make it. I don't know. There's opportunities out there.
All right. We got to take another break. But when we come back, what do you have thoughts and memories about the streets of old Milwaukee? Our next guest may want to interview you.
How old do you think I am?
This is Ask Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Deliver me from the days of old. Long live rock and roll. The beat of the drums loud and bold.
Tennessee. Milwaukee is where we were before we came here. Working in a brewery, making the finest beer. You came to me on a payday night, said let's go to Tennessee. So we drove down to Nashville to the Grand Ole Opry.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And if you live in the Milwaukee area, you may have heard that the Public Museum, not to be confused with the Public Market, I baby-brained that the other day.
Oh, just yeah.
And the Public Museum is going to get a new building, and they have announced that as of right now, they are not moving the arguably the most popular exhibit in the Public Museum, which is the Streets of Old Milwaukee. And there was a lot of
hubbub
about that, which, you know, people are very attached to this. And our next guest is also very attached to this, so much so that she is trying to make she is making a documentary, a short documentary, as a film student, creating, like, capturing people's stories and memories of this exhibit. And so please welcome to the show, Mira Santos Tomas. How are you doing, Mira?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good.
Thank you for joining us. So I guess, so you're a film student. Are you a film student at UWM?
I'm actually a film student at Pratt Institute. It's okay. In Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you're from Milwaukee.
Yes, correct.
So when did it escalate for you from, I really don't want this exhibit to end, to maybe I can make a documentary about this?
Well, I mean, I've been going to the Milwaukee Public Museum since I was, like, probably before I even had memory.
Like, in utero? So, your mom was taking you there?
Probably. So, the rumors had been going on for a while that they were going to cancel the exhibit, but I had found this, like, Facebook group that was dedicated to, like, preserving memories of the streets of old Milwaukee. And after I saw, like, how much this exhibit meant to people, I was like, I mean, this is like, this documentary is like writing itself. Like, I mean, because a lot of the people are older, and like once the, if they really like do abandon the museum, it's just going to be like, all of those memories are going to be gone. So
I guess since we have a statewide audience. And so for people, and actually I have to be totally honest,
yes,
I haven't gone to the Milwaukee Public Museum since moving back to Wisconsin yet, so I need to go. So I've seen pictures of the streets of old Milwaukee, and I am a sucker for historical immersive experiences of like going to Deadwood in South Dakota and stuff like that. So I think I would be someone who really loves it. But how, for someone who has not seen the streets of old Milwaukee, Mira, how would you describe it?
It's like you're literally walking into like another time, because like every part of the set is very detailed. And like after having talked to a lot of people who were heavily involved, like their families were heavily involved in the creation of these things, like for instance, well, this is the European Village, but technically it's like part of the old streets, but one of the, like, this, the Ukrainian house, like, the woman that I was talking to, her grandma, like, donated, her whole family donated everything, like, all the artifacts that are in there, and so it, like, it really has an authenticity, and, like, the handkerchief in the Ukrainian exhibit is, like, from the grandmother's time in, like, a refugee camp. here. So it's very immersive, and like you can look at one part of the exhibit for hours and just like study each detail. It's very cool.
And so with how many, with the documentary, so you're like, this is writing itself. It's going to be a short documentary. What is, like, what have the interviews been like? Have you had a lot of people who've wanted to talk to you?
Okay. I think like it's a lot more difficult to contact people because, not a lot of them are very good at like technology. So there's been problems with like, you know, like online interviews and things, but, I guess my overall experience has been, I've been surprised with how much information and connection they have, because like for me, I just attended like going to see the streets, but I never knew like the background and stuff. But there's a very, like, I even learned that there used to be an old building with like different exhibits that like alternative versions of the streets of old Milwaukee.
Really?
So it's very interesting, yeah.
At like a completely different location that people, yeah, you could still go it. See?
Yeah.
And so have you gotten to do many interviews so far?
Not really, but I have been, because a lot of the interviewees too, like, live far away. So it's like hard to schedule them well, but I've been receiving material, like old photographs from like catalogs that show the old exhibits and things, which has been really cool.
Here's a tip for you, Mira, for these older people who are technologically challenged. Maybe just record them over the phone and then you can use them as voiceovers for the visuals in your small documentary, because I can only imagine how frustrating it has been trying to set up some of these interviews with people who are not necessarily so tech savvy.
I'll keep that in mind.
Now, Mira, have you been able to talk to many people who work for the museum?
I haven't yet been able to talk to like directly to the people who have worked there, but I've been able to talk to like, children of people who, like, one of my interviewees, their brother and sister actually, and their dad like designed the streets of old Milwaukee. So
he designed it.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool. And so
that's
how long has the exhibit been around? I actually don't know.
I actually do not know the exact date, but I will say I've seen a lot of color pictures, so it's not like that old.
It's been going on since I was a little kid, yeah. So for quite a while.
Well, yeah, and so is part of the hope that if you get this project done and the documentary happens, is that potentially to continue the fight to have some version of it in the new museum?
Hopefully, or at least to like digitally preserve everything. Because
that's another way of doing it too, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Streets first opened in 1965.
There you go.
Cool. It's older than me. Thank God.
And what if people would like to share their memories with you about their memories of the streets of old Milwaukee? How can they contact you?
You can email me at mirasantomas@gmail.com.
And we will put that in today's show notes so people can, if they didn't have a pen and paper with them, they can write that down. Anything else you'd like people to know about the project?
I will be submitting it to the Milwaukee Film Festival next year. So if you're into watching films, you should check it out, because I think it will be screening there, hopefully.
Awesome.
That would be really exciting.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Mira Santo Tomas is a film student who is trying to document stories and memories of the streets of old Milwaukee before, while it's still here. And so thank you so much for sharing with us. And we'll certainly spread the word for more people who would like to be interviewed.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great day. That's like another thing that I need to be able to get on that.
Yeah, you probably should go.
With this air quality, maybe that's what I'll do this weekend. Stay indoors, people.
Here's the thing is, I feel like there's these things that we need to do as a team, the three of us, and then report back here.
What else do we have on that list right now?
Maybe state fair trip this year.
I'd love the state fair. Should
we do an eating contest? I'm so excited because I remember last year, so state fair last year, I didn't go at all because it was 2 weeks before my wedding. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of a COVID outbreak happening. And I basically was like, it's not worth it this year. Like, yeah. I don't want to get sick.
Well, not right before the wedding.
I didn't want to get sick right before the wedding. Also, I was like, there's nothing there I should be eating considering I'm wearing a 2-piece dress for my wedding. But this year, I'm going to be 32 weeks pregnant, and I'm going to eat whatever I want, yeah. So I am ready.
So, okay.
We should do a Sporky's tour.
We should do a Sporky's tour.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless one of us, do you know that you've made it once you've been asked to be a Sporky's judge?
Have you been asked to be a Sporky's judge? Okay.
No, we had Adam Pollock on last year because he was, which makes more sense since he is an actual chef.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
I'm a fan of food.
I'm not enough of a foodie that it makes sense. Like Derek Mosley is a huge foodie. So when he gets asked to be a judge, it makes more sense because he has like an appreciation.
He's got the palate.
Yeah. He's got a palate.
He's got the palate.
So State Fair, Streets of Old Milwaukee. I feel like we can throw another couple in here and we can make it really work. It's like Conan does his remotes, you know, mm-hmm. As Goes Wisconsin down the street.
But I feel like, is the food that's going to be nominated in the Sporky's going to travel well? Or is this something that the three of us need to go to State Fair
yes.
together and record it?
Yes.
Yes.
Versus trying to bring the food to the studio
No, that's not going to work. It's got to be done. No, I'm talking, we go to State Fair and hang out and have fun and eat good food.
Yeah. And make content.
Or funny food and make content and... does someone have the company card? Because I feel like this is a company expense.
Well, I think Jane has the company card.
Be nice to me, people.
But yeah, I think we should have fun time. And who knows? Maybe we can even do a remote show. Do a remote show from State Fair. Oh my God! Just
man on the street interviews. I'm like, hey, you want to be on the radio? Come over here.
Come here, kid. I want to talk to you.
I think that's probably the next. Because I think it might be too late to do. To get our act together to do anything at Summerfest.
Yeah, that's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late.
Are you going to go to Summerfest at all, Jane?
No. I haven't been.
I might go to Summerfest.
I haven't been in years.
Just because?
Too many people. The music does not speak to me for the most part.
Yeah.
Like Cage the Elephant?
I miss the comedy stage. That's what I miss.
Why don't they have a comedy stage anymore?
I think, honestly, it just had to do with the fact that I think music is, in a sense, easier. You can get rowdy people coming in to the comedy stage.
And they disrupt things, right?
Yep. And some of these comics cost money nowadays. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure they cost money back in the day. I mean, I saw Lewis Black back in the 90s there, and he was on TV and that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just them trying to push the branding towards music. But the thing is there was such a complaint about not having comedy sports there.
Oh,
they actually erected their own tent by the old comedy stage for comedy sports to do shows there now.
I
think they're still doing them now. But like I remember doing a couple of Summerfest shows there because it had gone away for a few years and people complained because they brought their kids. It's fun.
Yeah.
Go see an hour of it and then go walk around. But yeah.
And it's clean.
It's clean. Yeah, it's exactly. It's
well, because when there was a comedy stage, would it be a ticketed show and you'd be expected to be there for the entire show? Because often,
no, you just walked in.
In my experience of comedy sets,
yeah,
it's not something you kind of can just like dip in and out of. Because usually, like a set builds, like good sets build on itself and have callbacks to earlier jokes. And so to have like the disruption of being a comic trying to perform and have people walking in and out of your set. And thinking that the jokes are going to land, like that feels.
No, you walked in and you sat down and you waited. It's like a, it was like any other stage.
That's weird.
It was.
But it worked. Obviously, it Jane liked it.
Yeah, it worked
for years. Huh. And then they were like, no, goodbye. We don't like laughter anymore.
But you know who does like laughter?
Who?
The Milwaukee Comedy Fest.
Oh, the nice branding segue there.
When we come back, there's going to be some new announcements for the Milwaukee Comedy Fest for this fall. So stay tuned to hear that. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, we were watching TV. Ernest Tubb was singing loud. I said, that's a man for me. I love him, there's no doubt. I'm leaving you and going now to find out where he's at. If I can't get him, I'll settle for that bluegrass Lester flat.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She's Jade Matinere. He is Greg Bach, feeling the Holy Spirit with him in him as he dances.
The
to.
Black, the eye, the black, the peas.
Yes, exactly. So no shows. You guys, Laughing Tap has a little bit of a break.
Yep, we take a break during the summer months. We have our open mic tonight, but then this weekend and the following weekend we are closed completely. No mic, no shows, no nothing. And then we'll come back for the open mic on the 12th. We'll have Chris Higgins on that second week in July. But yeah, we take a little break. And then we're actually going to take the first weekend of August off as well. Because it's...
Why do you get so much vacation?
Shut up! Yeah, we just can't go up against the behemoths that are Summerfest and State Fair. So, and it's just nice to take it. And those are just... You know, people are outside. They don't really want to sit inside and watch comedy for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's true.
I wish they would. But, yep, no shows coming up, but still tickets available, laughingtap.com for all our shows, including big Comedy Fest announcement, actually. So these two shows were announced on Friday of last week. They went on sale yesterday at noon. And as of right now, one of the shows, which is the Boogie Monster live podcast recording with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone, officially has a dozen tickets left.
Wow.
That was quick.
That was very quick. So if you're listening now and you want to go to that show, they will be sold out by day's end. I guarantee you. So buy them right meow because they're going.
And who are these people?
So Kyle Kinane is a comedian. He's been on Comedy Central, HBO. He has specials. He's released a bunch of records. He's a comics comic, but he's also very popular. He's very, very funny. And then Dave Stone is another comic. He's originally from Atlanta, and he's released a bunch of records as well. And they used to do a podcast called The Boogie Monster. And recently, they went on a hiatus, an indefinite hiatus. But we're friends with Dave Stone, and Kyle is already going to be headlining at the festival. So we said, hey, Dave, do you want to come do a show? And then also you and Kyle want to do a Boogie Monster episode? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So Dave Stone will be headlining the final night of Comedy Fest as well. So
big announcement.
Big announcement. In the afternoon, it's a 2 p.m. show or a 3 p.m. show. Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone doing a live Boogie Monster recording. And they'll probably be interviewing some Comedy Fest admittees, the comedians in the fest. And then that night, Dave Stone will close out the fest at the final night. Headlining, and his tickets are on sale, and they're selling well as well. That show's going to sell it as well. And
yeah.
I'm telling you right now, podcasts will sell out. Dave Stone will sell out. Todd Berry will sell out. Kelly Ryan will sell out. And Kyle is at the Pabst Theater. There are tickets left, but I wouldn't wait. I'm serious. MKEComedyFest.com for all those tickets, and we're going to be announcing the other shows in the coming months. So,
and remind people when the Comedy Fest is.
October 1st through the 8th at various locations throughout Milwaukee, including but not limited to The Laughing Tap, Dandy, Pabst Theater, Shank Hall, possibly Var Gallery. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
But I'd love that you have shows during the day.
Oh, yeah. So our Saturday and Sundays, we always like to have shows during the day because we want to give opportunities to performers to perform. During the week, that Sunday, the first night through the Wednesday, there's only a show a night because it's weeknights and we don't want to overburden people to come out to stuff. But We'll have a full official schedule coming out very soon, including names of people who've been admitted to the festival. And it's going to be really fun. But that, like I said, that Kyle Kinane, Dave Stone podcast recording is quite, they're going to be gone.
Where's the show? I mean, where's the live recording going to happen?
Laughing Tap.
Laughing Tap.
Dave nice. Stone show and the live recording of the podcast will be at the Laughing Tap. It'll be really, really fun. And also, if you had your heart set on getting Barron's Brothers tickets for next month, too bad they are already sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you open tickets for that months in advance, or is it only so like
1 month in advance?
Okay, so you can't buy it for the following month yet.
No, we tried to do that, but unfortunately, people were buying like, I want to get my June tickets. They buy July tickets, so we want them to buy June tickets anyway. So usually, like the day or the following Monday after the show, we open the tickets up for the next one. And yeah, the Barron's one goes fast, and it's gone.
Man can draw a crowd.
He's really good at art. He can really draw them. He gets that real, like, you know, that sense of longing in their eyes when he's, you know, just getting off the stage. You're like, come back, Charlie. I want more laughter. Talk about Quick Trip. Talk about the Packers.
Talk about bags instead of bags.
Talk about milk versus milk. But yeah, that's and also on another note too, Chastity Washington, who I consider the queen of Milwaukee comedy, the best comic in the city, absolutely amazing human being, just released her new special, Chastity Washington, live at Dandy, which was recorded at Dandy, which is a venue and a cool vintage store here in Milwaukee. She recorded that, and it's now finally released. It's on Amazon Prime. You can watch it there. You will laugh so hard. We streamed it last night at the Tap, and people were laughing as hard, if not harder, than the audience watching the original recording. And when she got done, the audience in the recording gave her a standing ovation, and an audience in the room gave her a standing
wow.
ovation.
Wow.
She is just pure joy, pure talent, pure everything. She is just a wonderful human being. Chastity Washington live at Dandy on Amazon Prime right
awesome.
Now.
That's cool. I will watch that tonight.
Please, you will absolutely love it, Jane. Report back, please.
You got it.
And then is this the 18th year?
Correct.
It's an adult.
It is an adult. Get a job.
You've raised an adult.
Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Get a job. Yeah, it's 18 years and I'm like, hey.
And you've been involved all 18 years?
No, okay. I've performed at many of them, but I've been involved as a employee or like a main producer or in some capacity for the past 7, 8 years, maybe 9 years. I don't know. It all blurs together now. I don't remember when I came on board as the comms director, and then I moved up to producer, and now it's me, Caitlin, and Matt.
Yeah.
But not just us. We have a lot of help. We have a lot of friends to help out, so I don't want to make it seem like it's only us who do the work. But yeah, it's been a long time, and it's been a lot of fun, and before we know it, it's here. Like, it's weird. It creeps up on you.
Yeah.
And then it's over, and then we're at brunch at the Noble.
But if you are listening and you're outside of Milwaukee and you love comedy, it's a good time to come to Milwaukee and see a lot of comedy, because there's going to be a lot of shows that week of October 1st through the 8th.
At least a dozen.
I will be giving birth, so I won't be there.
Wow. Thanks, friend.
We'll bring the comedy to you.
But that'll also be our like 2-year anniversary of friendship, because the way we really started to become friends is I volunteered because I wanted to be more involved in the comedy scene in Milwaukee. So I just emailed you, and I was like,
2021?
Yeah. I was like, hey, can I volunteer? And then you and Caitlin were like, yeah, we know who you are.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
We were like, I can't believe she wants to hang out with us.
All right. Well, that is the end of the show. Flew by. Tomorrow we actually have County Executive David Crowley is going to be here to talk about where we're at with the sales tax. So that'll be fun. That's at 10:30 tomorrow. Then we'll do public service announcement. And Mike Clemens will give us a sports update. Big show halfway through the week. Stay safe out there with the air. Come back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night.